And good morning. Hi, Dr. Morgan here. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I don't know if you can hear the static. I don't know where that's coming from. Probably my fault, though. Alrighty, this program is Health Essentials. I read an article before I came on the air. I'm not going to share it with you, but they were just talking about the role of if they could only get good nutrition in hospitals, that would alleviate so much of the expense and the cost of taking care of people. Of course, that's common sense, isn't it? If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257 here on the program. If you want to ask me a question that pertains to how to restore health, let's focus on those things. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Thanks for your phone call today.
You're welcome, and thank you. I'm calling about my 24-year-old son. He started having a little bit of abdominal pain, upper right, and I thought it might be some muscle-related. And so he went to the doctor finally, and he palpated his gallbladder, and it was very tender. So he did an ultrasound, and the everything was except that said the biliary duct was abnormal at 3.5 millimeters. And so now they've said they're going to send him to a surgeon for evaluation. So my question is, I mean, I kind of read up on it, and that's a very mild dilation, but it's, you know, it's a very critical area of the body. So
I mean, 3.5 millimeters, isn't that like a teeny tiny dilation?
Yes, 3.5 is, I mean,
I don't even know if I could see the difference with my eyes. No, I'm only joking about that, but yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, of course, he's scared. He's 24, and overall, I mean, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, but he does dip snuff, and he has used in the past the Nexium because it gives him acid reflux, obviously, and but I'm just trying to figure out what's causing it. He was drinking a lot of milk with his protein drinks. He uses the real nice, real good quality whey protein because he lifts weights. And so I thought, maybe is he getting too much calcium with the milk and then the calcium in the whey protein maybe? I don't know. What do you think?
But you want to avoid surgery, don't you?
Oh, definitely.
Or you would prefer that your son keep all his body parts that you helped form inside of him, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to just try to make this sound very, very simple. The gallbladder has got to be absolutely one of the most interesting organ systems in the entire body. If you read what old-time doctors from the 1920s and the 1930s called it, they always called the gallbladder the trash can of the liver. I think we could probably learn something from that. So if the liver is absolutely the largest internal filter of the blood, and the kidneys might be number two and the bowels might be number three, anytime you have a problem with the gallbladder, you just have to wonder, okay, what's going on here? The gallbladder requires a certain amount of fat in the diet in order to work properly. And so if your son ate an avocado, he probably doesn't have a lick of pain or problem at all, does he? I would think he wouldn't.
Probably not.
I mean, my guess would be that if he eats cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts and asparagus and avocados and sweet potatoes and beets, he probably does just fine. The foods that tend to present the greatest problem toward the gallbladder are going to be foods that are fried in refined fat. But if he's a weightlifter, he probably doesn't eat French fries all day long and fried chicken, does he?
No, I mean, not, you know, occasionally, but he's a police officer in Quitman, Texas, and I'll tell you what, there's not a lot of food over there that's good. So
if I help him and I get if I get caught speeding in Quitman, I can get a free out of jail card from you, right?
I'm sure you could, yes.
Oh, wow, that's never happened to me before. All right, let me tell you what I want to think of. Number one, the first thing to do is you've got to stop eating things that tend to inflame and aggravate the gallbladder and the bile duct. And it's not that these foods are bad. I'm not saying that onions are bad or pork is bad or eggs. I never said that. But when the gallbladder is inflamed, when you eat those foods, it just makes it kind of contract and squeeze a little bit. Well, I mean, how fun would it be for me to squeeze your finger if you had an infection or a cut or swelling at the end of your finger? It would hurt. And you'd say, don't do that. And so when the gallbladder and the bile ducts are inflamed, when you eat certain fatty foods, it can definitely make it worse. But if you go back to the old-time research from the 1960s, when physicians used to run these gastroenterology wings of the hospital, the quickest way to get somebody out of gallbladder attack was to have them fast for 3 days. So they would give them plenty of water, but they just gave it a rest. I know that sounds overly simplistic, but when you give the gallbladder a rest, it tends to heal. Now, I'm only going to tell you the concoction that I like. You can kind of take it with a grain of salt, but if your son has a blender, he probably has like an electrical outlet in the front seat of his car because they cram it full of computers and laptops and everything else, don't they?
Yes.
I bet you his car has more electronic equipment than a Radio Shack. Anyway, but if you took a blender, all you want to do is you just want to take one beet. If you go to the store, usually the beets are sold in groups of three. I don't even... If it were me, I wouldn't even try to peel the beet. I would just wash the big chunks of black dirt off of it and just throw it in the blender. And if he would take maybe about 8 ounces to 10 ounces of the unfiltered apple juice, the unfiltered apple juice looks kind of like dirty, rusted water with sediment on the bottom of it.
Right.
But in the apple juice, you have an enzyme called pectinase, and that helps dissolve, you know, hardened, congealed bile that's in the bile duct and the gallbladder. And so if we were to add the juice of one lemon, which earlier this morning I was reading an article about which foods are famous for helping the liver. Well, guess which fruit was number one? It was the lemon. Because lemon is a solvent, and solvents help dissolve dirt and debris, and they have a cleaning property about them. And so I always think that when people take a little bit of lemon juice and they add it to their food, it enhances the flavor. And if they add lemon juice to water or tea, it gives the body kind of a cleansing effect, which I think is very good. So we want to put one beet, 8 to 10 ounces of unfiltered apple juice, the juice of one lemon. And then if it were me, I would probably add a tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil and just pulverize that stuff. If he doesn't like the taste of it, you can go to the health food store and purchase what's called black cherry concentrate, or, you know, the dark cherry juice. And it can be pretty tart sometimes, but this is just my opinion. I think all these things are an aid at helping to dissolve all that debris that's probably built up. And so it may be that the high levels of protein from dairy may have kind of clogged him up just a little bit. And so if we give him a rest, it may just relieve all that pressure in there. But that formulation, if you can just blend it or pulse it on high until it's a nice, generous consistency, he could drink that down once a day. And tell him not to freak out when he goes to the bathroom, and if he has kind of a crimson, beet-colored tinge to his urine, say that's not blood, son. Don't freak out. It'll be just fine. But that's one thing that I would do if it were me. And I bet you anything, we're going to find out that he has something that he's eating day in and day out that's just a little bit toxic to him. I know that's kind of a deep conversation, but just hold the idea that if the gallbladder's upset, it's probably because you're eating one particular food group that just does not jive or get along with your immune system. And so we'll find out. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the ultrasound showed that no stones, no anything on the gallbladder, but just the bile duct.
We should definitely...
I found that kind of weird.
We should remove all of his intestines and just toss them. I'm joking. We shouldn't do that. I mean, if I told you how many times that I've heard of somebody having a gallbladder that's free of gallstones, but they just go ahead and remove it anyway, just on the outside chance. Well, hey,
oh my gosh.
You know, we'll just do a $30,000 surgery here, and just maybe it might help this young man. Well, no, your son's a warrior.
Yes.
Did you say he's 24?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he like Barney Fife?
Yes.
Does he carry a one bullet in his pocket of his T-shirt, or no? Or do they make him carry like a loaded weapon all times? I'm joking about that, don't I? But we just need to get this calmed down, and that beet solution is going to work very, very well. But the less that he eats, the better this is going to go. And if it were me, I would eat foods like sweet potatoes. I would eat avocados. I know avocados are rich in fat, but I've asked so many people, you tell me what works best with you. Do you do better with an avocado? And they go, strangely enough, yes. If I just eat guacamole, I do a lot better than if I eat, chips and salsa. Or enchiladas. But if we can give him a rest for about 3 days, we can start to clean this gallbladder out. But lemon juice, tart cherry juice, sometimes even kombucha, I find very helpful. And I think one of the reasons that kombucha helps is because it's a fermented beverage that has a generous amount of what's called propionic acid and glucuronic acid, which in the economy of the liver, it takes a lot of energy to make those things, but they're very detoxifying, very cleansing, very healing. Now, I'm only telling you what I would do if it were me, so you just take all this with a grain of salt. But if I had severe pain in my gallbladder or in my right upper quadrant under the liver, and I said, man, I do not feel good, I'm really nervous, I'm a bit scared right here, I'd probably say, okay, Roy, what's going to happen here? This is going to go poorly if you have to go to the ER. I'm not saying going to the ER is a bad mistake. I don't mean that. But if we can find a way to get the body back in good working order without having to have the gallbladder removed, I vote we keep the gallbladder. And so what I would do is I would probably start a very controlled fast, and it could be a fast of unfiltered apple juice. Because sometimes the easiest solution is just giving the gallbladder a rest. And I'm not going to say people's names on the radio, but I've got about three people I'm thinking of. Don't worry, I'm not into embarrassing people on purpose. But I've had so many people that have come to see me that if they just rest their gallbladder for 3 days, they have so much poop that comes out, it's unreal and unbelievable. Because finally we get all the back pressure, and I think that we can kind of open up the liver and the gallbladder, and it can start to drain. And so some people do really well when they fast on unfiltered apple juice, and you can drink as much as you want, and you can drink water with some lemon juice. But the shocking thing is, even though you may not be eating normal food in Quitman, Texas, people are just shocked at the amount of bowel movements that come out of them. And that's just relieving all that back pressure. And so the term back pressure, that's just my made-up word, but it makes sense to me because you got all this pressure, it's keeping the bile duct inflamed, he's probably got heartburn. The other clue that you gave me a while ago, there is a very specific scientific family of fruits and vegetables called the Solanaceae family. You ever heard of that before?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I'm the only weirdo that would probably want to know what that is. But the Solanaceae family is also called the nightshades. And in the nightshade family, you've got tobacco, any of the tobacco plants. I don't even know how many types of tobacco plants there are, but let me just say there's 20. I don't know. Maybe there's 40. But any variety of tomato and white potato, you got eggplants, I think you have goji berries, peppers of any shape, size, and variety. All these along with tobacco are nightshades. And I bet you anything, I'm going to see about two individuals a year that come to see me in the office that is their deal. They just do not process nightshades well. And when they don't process nightshades well, it causes tremendous inflammation to build up in the stomach and the gallbladder. And so for some people, just coming off nightshades for a short period of time is a godsend. Would he say that he's fairly stiff or very, very flexible?
I think he's flexible.
Okay.
Do
they make him work at night?
No, luckily he's got a day shift.
I was just curious if maybe that's why he liked the tobacco, is to keep him awake at night.
No, he just got into that habit, and I told him, I said, it's time to quit.
Well, I am not casting stones. No one's doing that. We all love him. He's probably listening right now going, I didn't realize that many people loved me. And he's just, everybody loves him. But you've got to give the gallbladder a rest. And so if he wants to take some tart cherry juice or some dark cherry juice and put in a little bit of unfiltered apple juice, he could start. He could fast on that. And, you know, the surprising thing is, most people usually tell me, they think, hey, I never thought I could do this. But it was surprisingly filling. I even had a man the other day whose blood sugar averages about, you know, 160, 180 in the morning because of diabetes. But when he fasted just one day, just one 24 to 30-hour cycle on the unfiltered apple juice, first time he woke up with his blood sugar at 95. First time. But it helps clean the liver gently. But resting the body can kind of get all the gunk out. And so these, all I would have you do is just consider that he's probably consuming or eating something that just does not agree with him. And even though it sounds kind of complicated, there's probably a combination of an inflammatory reaction with an immune reaction and maybe even a little bit of toxicity on top of that from eating this food. And if we can identify what that is, then that would be his solution for having a pain-free life and a great gallbladder.
Yeah. I'm suspecting calcium, too much calcium, but I
well, that's the problem with nightshades.
Anyway.
No. That's the problem with nightshades, too much calcium. The other thing that I want the other thing that I want him to really prayerfully, thoughtfully consider is he's probably highly allergic to firearms, and he should give them all to me, and I would be doing him a favor by taking them off of his hand, since I don't own any. And see, that would make him feel better.
No.
How do you think that's going to go over when you tell him that?
Not well.
If he wants to have a very, very quick relief from this gallbladder pain, then he needs to go to the health food store and purchase what's called aloe vera gel. Not aloe vera juice, but aloe vera gel. And it's the kind for internal consumption. If you go to the store and there's the aisle that sells all the sunscreen and the tan lotion and all the things that people put on their skin, that's not the aloe vera gel I'm talking about. That probably has like a green dye added to it or something.
Exactly.
That I'm okay with that. If you get a sunburn, let's put that on there. But the aloe vera gel that I'm referring to is the kind for internal consumption. But that stuff is amazing. Okay. How fast it works if there any inflammation in the gut. It is incredible.
Okay.
Of course, you've probably never heard of the aloe vera plant, have you?
Oh, yes.
I was reading not that long ago, they were talking about all the indoor household plants that are very good at helping to detoxify. I mean, you know about living in a modern house, don't you? They have things like plywood and particle board, and there's carpet and paint and varnishes and glues, and so... I mean, you've walked into a new house before. Aren't they just continually outgassing all these chemicals from the construction?
Yes.
I mean, just full of chemicals. It's like having new carpet in your office. You can smell glue everywhere. But they were saying that the aloe vera plant is absolutely one of the most fabulous plants of all time to detoxify inside of a house. And I kind of think to myself, if that stuff could detoxify a man-made structure... What can it do to a God-made structure called the human body or the temple? It's great.
Yes.
I think your son will be a new man by doing that. But if, you know, wouldn't this be horrible if he went back to the doctor and they did a follow-up ultrasound and they said, oh, my goodness, this is a fluke. We must have made a mistake the first time because your bile duct is no longer inflamed or dilated like it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well... My mother's pretty smart, and she told me what to do. No, sir, don't listen to your mother. You need surgery right now. Well, you would have needed surgery if your mother hadn't got a hold of you.
So
do these things, and so the idea of a three-day fast, that may sound like a lot of fun, but if he did that on unfiltered apple juice, he would probably have so much stuff come out of him, he'd say, Mom, how could all this come out of me? I haven't been eating for 3 days. And you'd say... Well, son, you were just a little bit clogged up in the gallbladder and the liver.
Right. Okay, so I'll tell them all that. And then could I ask you a question, one more question?
Sure.
Okay. So a few years ago, I started having waking up every night with a headache about 1 o'clock, and just pounding headaches. And I mean, sometimes so bad I couldn't go to work, and just real frustrating, not knowing what it was causing it. Well, I finally went to a dentist, Dr. Coker in Tyler, and he said that you're grinding your teeth. So he gave me a little appliance that I attached to my upper teeth, and it keeps me from grinding my teeth, which stopped all the headaches. Okay, so long story short, I did that. I've been doing that for about 4 or 5 years. And I recently went to get my teeth checked and cleaned, and the dental hygienist specializes in orofacial muscles. And she was looking, and she said that that appliance has caused my bite to be off. And so now it's caused me to mouth breathe at night. And I know I have not been sleeping well for probably 2 years. And I attributed that mostly to menopause, which I think it's partly that, and then partly this bite issue causing me to mouth breathe, which when you mouth breathe, you can't get the nitric oxide that you need. And I mean, and then it causes teeth problems and on. So they suggested, the dentist suggested, he said he tapes his mouth shut every night. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, wow. And then I just saw a sleep doctor last week on the advice of my primary care. And, of course, they want me to have a sleep study. And I wouldn't mind doing that. But
they're going to come to the house, you know, and watch you sleep?
Well, no, I mean, I can do it that way. Or you can do home sleep studies now, surprisingly. But anyway, so... I mean, I don't know. It could be, he looked at my airway and he said it's pretty narrow, which it didn't used to be. And I feel like this mouth breathing, he said mouth breathing causes so many problems. And so, I mean, do you have any thoughts on that as far as keep taping my mouth shut at night, or I don't know.
I like that, but I would say if we go backwards to what's the cause of this, if you're waking up wide awake at 1 o'clock in the morning with a headache, that's almost always stress on the liver and the gallbladder. Almost always. I don't think I've seen a person ever that grinds their teeth that you couldn't trace it back to inflammation of the liver and the gallbladder. And so if you can figure out what's doing that, then you can start to resolve all that, because the human body, it just... I don't care how you slice or dice it. Chronic, unresolved inflammation is what drives all these things. I love what Dr. Russell Jaffe has come up with as a definition of inflammation. Dr. Jaffe says, repair deficit. Repair deficit. That's the definition of inflammation. And I've got to agree with him, because inflammation is there for one reason. It's your body's attempt at trying to repair. So what do you do when you can't make repairs that you need to be able to make? You just spiral downward into this chronic degenerative process where you just get worse and worse and your health suffers. And so in your situation, I can only give you some ideas here because I'm guessing over the radio. But I would imagine if I took my fingers and I pressed from anterior to posterior onto your bile duct, you would probably... grab my fingers and attempt to break them, saying, never do that again, that hurt really bad. But it would probably point toward an inflamed bile duct. And so maybe the apple doesn't fall far from the tree with your son. Maybe there's something that you're consuming or eating, or you know what I wish? I wish that I knew where the entrance of the Garden of Eden was, because I kind of have this fantasy idea that if I could make it past the angel with the flaming sword, I could probably rejuvenate and see what it's like to live in a toxic free environment, but I don't know where the entrance is.
Yeah. Right.
And so the key with the gallbladder is identifying. I mean, I've seen some horrible teeth grinders at night. The only way I've ever seen that stop totally is by finding out what they're reacting to and avoiding that. But yes, taking that gentle tape and taping your mouth shut. And you spoke wisely, because when you breathe through your nose, that's where you start generating nitric oxide.
Yes.
And that helps open up the blood vessels. But most likely this is going to be a combination of things. Number one, do you have just a, are you prone to just a little bit of shoulder blade, shoulder, upper back discomfort because your shoulders kind of ache and hurt all the time?
Are your shoulders? I have a desk job.
Well, I know, but I'm gonna say that's the liver area right there. And so it's not a rocket scientist here. You can just start rubbing and touching those rhomboid muscles, and when they're real tender, you start thinking maybe there's some stress on the liver. And so we just need to kind of relieve that. So that same solution that I told you for your son, you might even try that yourself. Just blend up one beet and 8 to 10 ounces or 12 ounces of the apple juice with a lemon and olive oil and see if some of this mouth... The other thing is, if you're breathing through your mouth, you need to just add an extra pillow and lay on your side at night.
Okay.
I would not use duct tape or Gorilla Tape to tape your mouth shut. That sounds painful.
No, and this micropore is bad enough. I feel like in the mornings I'm peeling my lips off, but anyway.
Well, that doesn't... Last time I checked, you need to keep your lips intact.
I know. It's just kind of crazy. It's just, I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this. But then, you know, also when you mouth breathe, then it causes tooth decay, you know? And so now I have
everything you don't want.
Small cavities. Exactly. And I mean, it's just a vicious thing. But the thing is, I've been grinding my teeth since a child. So what inflammation did I have as a child? Well, I was asthmatic and allergic. I had severe allergies.
Well, that's almost always a dairy allergy. You don't consume milk or dairy, do you?
Really?
Yeah, no whey protein for you?
Well...
No cheese?
Really?
Well, yeah,
well,
I was using raw milk
for Baldo Whey.
Probably doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, I've been off of it now for a week or two thinking maybe, you know, that could be it.
No, you're on the right track.
Just give it
about 21 days before you pass judgment.
Okay.
But there's also an opportunity to improve the tone of your respiratory system, and so do you exercise at all?
Yes, I do, and I do coffee enemas most every week.
What would be the number one thing that the coffee enema would do? It'd probably purge and cleanse the liver, if you ask me.
Correct.
And so do you get any relief? And do you sleep any better after a coffee enema?
I think so, yes. Usually I do it early Sunday morning. And so Sunday night, you know, you're always kind of, I got to go back to work Monday, but, you know. So that's probably, if I don't sleep well, that's why.
I would say anytime the liver's involved, you try to simplify the diet. It works every single time. So if a person were to sit down and eat a meal, if they just ate three things like, I'm just going to say this, a salmon filet, avocado, and coleslaw. When people eat simply like that, the liver rebalances very quickly, but if you went to the Golden Corral buffet and you said, hey, there's 30 things on the menu today. I love cornbread. I love pastry. I love, and you eat 10 different types of meat and all of it, but I tell you what, your liver is going to suffer.
Yeah,
so
I don't do that for
sure. Just consider those things and see if you're not much better in a short period of time.
Okay. I will.
Maybe you could get one of those. Maybe you could get one of those My Pillows, which they had them on clearance at Walmart this week, and just hold it with your arms and just push that My Pillow up under your chin instead of tape.
Okay.
It's like a doorstop.
Okay, I will
try
that.
If you just kind of hold onto the pillow, but the pillow's pushing up against your lower jaw, your mouth won't come open.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, we can always go with duct tape and a straight jacket.
It's just so frustrating because I fixed one thing by using the mouth appliance.
But that's not getting to the root cause of the problem. There is stress on your bile ducts, and that's why people grind their teeth. And I know that kind of comes out of left field. So, I can do the same thing.
Yeah.
Hey, come to Walmart. Let's go to the football section. I'll make a mouthpiece for you right there on the spot. But it doesn't address why you're grinding your teeth. It just kind of stops it does some damage control. But just prayerfully consider
You've never
those.
Heard of it, teeth grinding due to, like, worms or parasites or something? Have you ever heard that?
I didn't hear the first part.
No.
What'd you say about worms and parasites?
If that can be also, I think I Googled it and it said something that teeth grinding could be related to that.
Well,
so, oh my gosh.
Let's put it this way. Anytime that there's a parasite that's releasing its toxic waste, that's enough to irritate anybody's liver.
Yeah.
I mean, the liver is the most intricate, sophisticated filtration system of the body. And so when it's having to pull toxic debris out of your blood, I mean, that can't be good. That's why you're trying to make it easy on the body.
Right. Okay, very good.
But parasites are real. All right. Well, thank you for your phone call, ma'am. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. Please feel free to call and ask me a question or make a comment. Sometimes it's just, you've just got to be able to convince a person that there's like one main issue and they can focus on that, then they can have great success. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Oh, you sound pretty happy today for a change. I mean, you sound happy.
Hey.
I'm joking.
Hey, it's early. It is early. So, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. Hey, question is, moles that come up on the skin, is there like a topical cream or something that will clear those up, clear them away?
You're probably not going to like what I'm going to say because I read an article about a year ago that said people that have moles usually live a lot longer than those that don't.
Oh, there you go, because they don't want anybody around. Nobody wants to be around them. Is that it?
You know what?
You don't get the aggravation?
That thought never entered my mind. How did you come up with that?
Well, I think like you do sometimes.
Well, it depends on what the type of the mole is, and so some people can have success over time by using what's called castor oil. And I would say the success is, you know, limited at best. There's a type of a skin cancer called a squamous cell carcinoma. There's another form called a basal cell carcinoma.
Right. I've had the basal.
You can totally dissolve those by using a product that's based on eggplant alkaloids with methyl salicylate. It's a product called Curaderm, and it'll just totally dissolve that. Now, I'm only saying this.
That?
Well, you can order it online, like Amazon.com.
Amazon, okay.
Yeah. You've never heard of that little website, have you?
No, never. Never used it either.
Well, it's an indigenous tribe from the Brazil rainforest, and they've got to make a living.
They've got to make a living, too.
They live right there on that little bitty river called the Amazon. But anyway.
Yes.
So the product is called Curaderm, but I've had some people use those on moles with success. Now, I have no personal experience, so I can't speak with a great authority. But that might be one thing that you're looking at. Some people might use black salve or black drought.
Okay.
So you can let those kind of be a starting point right there.
Is the black salve, like, is that like that black drawing salve?
Oh, it totally is. It's made of bloodroot. But, okay. all these things have to be used with caution.
Okay.
You're not going to take the drawing black salve and rub it all over your chest, are you?
I hadn't thought of that yet.
Don't do it. It is a very interesting product.
Well, you mentioned that for a sebaceous cyst.
Yeah. But you have to be just very careful how you use it.
Really?
Yeah. You might even want to watch a YouTube video.
Okay. Same with the Curaderm?
Yes, exactly. I think information is very good if you... If I'm just putting together a bicycle without instructions, I don't think it's that big of a deal because, I mean, well, maybe it's a big deal if the wheels come off when the kid's riding it. That could be a problem. But with these type of instructions, I think you need to kind of know what you're doing before you just jump out there and say, hey, I'm going to take a bath in this stuff. No.
It has other side effects, I'm guessing.
Could be very unpleasant.
Oh, not fun.
Yeah.
Not fun. Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, I will check into that. Can you get the Curaderm at, like, a health food store or anything like that?
I don't know. It's usually a very expensive. Well, I would say it's a moderately expensive product. A tube of it will probably run you about $110 to $130.
Got it. Okay.
But, you know, everything in its place. Some people would rather do that than spend, you know, $250 to see a dermatologist. But, you know, I'm
That's
not sure. But you do not feel like this mole is a melanoma, do you?
I don't know. Got no clue.
Does it look like used motor oil injected under the skin?
No.
Okay.
It's skin color.
Oh, skin. Well, it's probably like a keratosis or an nevi or something like that.
That's what I was wondering.
Don't ask me how to spell nevi.
Mm. And if I were to come and see you, you would be able to give a general idea what you think it is?
I've got a more important question. What rhymes? Yeah. What name rhymes with nevi?
Levi.
You're a genius. How'd you come up with that so fast?
Because I've listened to you for all these years.
Oh, I'm sure that has nothing to do with it. I bet your mother told you that you were her smartest child by far.
Her favorite son.
Her favorite? Out of how many sons? Never
one.
Mind. Oh, you mean, oh, I see where we're going with this. Uh-oh, that didn't sound too good. Anyway, moving
right along.
Along. Well, I hope
right along, not stopping for a moment.
All right, I hope that helps you a whole bunch.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yes, hope you have a good day, man.
You too, buddy.
Take
bye.
Care. Bye.
All right, bye.
All right, there's a phone line once again open at 903-586-5257. If nobody calls, I do have a brief story. As long as you're alive, you're probably going to deal with some type of infection at some point in your lifetime. But a lady was telling me day before yesterday that she was dealing with an infection in the ear, and she just couldn't quite get it to resolve. And these are never recommendations I would make, about putting honey in there. And I was telling her about this little girl with a staph infection. Actually, somebody's calling. But she used bee propolis. Propolis. Worked like a champ. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for your phone call. How can I help you?
I have a sister that has just been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and I was just wanting to know if you had any help for us until we see her oncologist, or maybe we won't see her oncologist.
Well, one thing that I want you to do is I want you to Google or look up a name, and I want to say his name is either Bill Kelly or William Kelly.
Okay.
And if I have his name wrong, I'm very sorry, but he was a dentist, and he developed pancreatic cancer, but he tells a story on how he made a correction and how he's able to overcome and live for a long time afterwards, which I am not trying. Is your sister listening right now?
No.
Okay, good, because I don't want to say anything that's a downer or the bearer of bad news, but usually pancreatic cancer does not have a real splendid outcome using chemotherapy and radiation treatments like that.
Yes, we've been told that.
Okay, well, I'm not trying to be negative, if anything.
No, I understand.
All right, well, you know that I love her, and I want to lift her up and encourage her, but let me give you a couple ideas here. And I realize some of these are going to come across as kind of nutty, but just let me have a go with this, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. There's some foods that we know for a fact that if you put these in the human body, they just cause cancer cells to grow they just grow like gangbusters. And you probably know what that substance is, don't you?
Well, I've heard sugar.
Well, you're 100% right. And so, if I were to look at research on what is going to be a factor that contributes to the development of pancreatic cancer, well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that the more carbohydrates, especially refined carbohydrates, I don't even know that I worry about the carbohydrates that come from raspberries or cherries or blueberries or strawberries. I don't even think that really bothers the pancreas. But it's the refined carbohydrates. And so if we try to break it down, where do those come from? It's going to be sugar and grains.
Yes, sir.
That's just going to be... So, if I said one of the ways to try to starve pancreatic cancer cells from their favorite source of fuel is to just deprive them of carbohydrates.
Yes.
So, I'm not trying to say that carbohydrates are bad, but I would prefer that your your lovely sister get her carbohydrates from things like broccoli and cauliflower or kale or you know, stuff like that. And so if we could make a dietary shift. Now, the other thing that I think I've seen work, and I kind of made a joke about this earlier, and I shouldn't have done that, but so forgive me. But if you went to a place like a buffet where it's just all you can eat, and I don't know, what is an all-you-can-eat buffet charge when somebody walks in the door to have a go at it? Is it like $100? I really don't know. I think there's some people that have gone there and probably consumed $100 worth of food. But
yes,
when you eat, you need to think in terms of simplicity. And I think one of the most healing regimens of all time is if you can keep it to just three different foods.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as an idea, what if we had like a salmon fillet? And I don't care if you squeeze lemon juice on top of it or use, you know, olive oil or butter to kind of like pan fry it or saute it, that's fine. But if we had like an avocado, like I mentioned the example earlier, or we had like a small salad, I think when you use real foods that God has made, you put yourself in a situation where it takes a lot of the stress and strain off of the pancreas. Because probably easily 95% of what your pancreas does, it's an exocrine organ that or gland, I should have said, that secretes and manufactures enzymes.
Yes.
And so when the pancreas is stressed, simplifying what you're eating is just going to work like gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you avoid the starches and the carbohydrates and all the different forms of refined sugar and the high fructose corn syrup and the soft drinks, and this is one situation where I really try to limit coffee. It's about the only one that I can think of where I can say coffee may be detrimental, except for the idea of a coffee enema. Because
she has done that.
Oh, good. So I don't have to convince her of that, right?
No, she's been trying that. Some friend of hers has been helping her, and these are along the same lines of things that he's been telling her. So.
Oh, well, then I think that's brilliant advice. Now, the other thing that we need to consider, but this is probably going to make her a little bit nauseated, she probably needs to supplement orally, meaning a capsule that you swallow, with what are called pancreatic enzymes. And you may have even heard of that as a treatment before from Dr. Gonzalez. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, I didn't understand what you said there.
I'm very sorry about that. Sometimes I just go from one thought to the next just way too fast, so that's on me. So please forgive me. But the use of supplemental pancreatic enzymes or digestive enzymes, those I think are very, very beneficial. Now, I mentioned to a caller earlier the idea of consuming what's called aloe vera gel. You talk about stuff that works. Anytime there's inflammation anywhere in the gut, anywhere, I think of aloe vera gel. Some people
prefer. And where would I get that?
Most likely a health food store.
Okay.
Now, if you went to the plant farm today and you took your pocket knife out and you started filleting each leaf of aloe vera to make a gel for a drink for your sister, they may frown on that because you haven't purchased the plant.
Right.
I'm joking. But
so that's what you're talking about as far as the
supplement. Yes. It is that inner gelatinous fillet of the aloe vera plant, and that stuff is spectacular. Now, you know as well as I do, I am not trying to overpromise anything. We're just trying to change the internal environment from all this horrible inflammation that's driving pancreatic cancer cell formation. And so all these things are going to play in. Everything is going to be a factor. I don't mean to make one thing into a panacea. But if it were me, I would consider all these things, but it's going to be really hard to get away from vegetables that are just very, very good for the pancreas. And I would say sweet potatoes, avocados, I think okra is really, really good. When I say okra, we may have to find a way to bake it in the oven to make it crispy and crunchy without all the corn oil and stuff that we fry it in. But all those things are going to be good right there. Now, the other thing that has been noticed about pancreatic cancer is when people consume a lot of, and I'm not an expert on coffee. I promise I'm not the coffee expert.
Mm-hmm.
But Arabica coffee, the more of that you consume, the more you tend to have pancreatic cancer.
Well, she does love her coffee.
Well, what we need to do is we need to switch to an organic coffee, because as a general rule, coffee is one of the most highly sprayed crops with insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, and chemicals. I didn't get that right, but I mean, you just think of an image of a crop duster coming down over the mountain range and spraying all those fields growing on the side of, Mount Fuji or Kilimanjaro.
Right.
Or Mount Selman. That's the large mountain that we have here. Now we have Mount Selvin, Mount Selman. I'm joking.
I know.
You know where Mount Selman is, don't you?
Well, I know where there's one kind of over by Lindale. Mount Sylvan or something.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's way up there, probably 13,000 feet above sea level.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, now that would be scary if we blinked and there was a volcano starting to form and pushing everything up. That'd be horrible.
Yes,
and so you're looking at organic coffee, but I'd probably limit it to about one cup a day. The number one factor that predicts if a cancer is going to go from its original location, which would be the pancreas, and metastasize somewhere else, is the higher the amounts of what's called insulin growth factor 1. And so that's going to come from dairy products. And so I'm not trying to be the mean, evil ogre and telling your sister what to do and, you know, ruining her life. Well, I'm trying to help her. So
yes,
I wouldn't use a bit of cream. I wouldn't use any of it. If she's going to have a cup of coffee a day, use coconut creamer or almond creamer or, let me see, what else could we use? Ghee, coconut oil. Ghee is clarified butter. So we could use those things, and that could give her some pleasure. I don't care if she takes chocolate powder and put it in there, just minus the sugar. Might have to put a drop or two of stevia in there to make it taste really good.
Okay, she's been doing that, I think. Okay. Well, this kind of makes me feel a lot better because... I'm sorry.
That's all right. You're doing good. Listen, there's things that I didn't tell you. One of those things would be probably the use of CBD oil. I'll just let you pursue that for yourself. I mean, I personally have no experience that I'm admitting to, so you'll find out on your own. But listen, you are a good sister. I tell you what, if every sister had a sister like you, they would be well loved and cherished and cared for. You are awesome. May the Lord bless you and give you strength, because you're the great encourager of your sister. She needs you right now, and you are so strong. I mean, you realize how much courage it takes to call on a nationally syndicated radio show like this? Okay, this is not nationally syndicated. It's just local. Probably 15 miles in a circle. But you're awesome. This is great. I'm going to, if you'll tell me your sister's first name, I'm going to pray for her.
Her name is Shirley.
Did you say Sherlyn?
Shirley.
Shirley.
Yes, sir.
You will not believe this, but I know a woman that I love very much, and her name is Shirley. I just think it's the greatest name of all time.
Yes, sir.
Your name's not Laverne, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, I just thought I'd check. But these are just a few things that you can play with. And one last thing that I want to run past you. There's a type of a tea called Essiac tea. And it has four basic ingredients. And these are nothing new. They've been here since the beginning of time, which I'm thinking maybe God has completely made these things for us and they might be good. But it contains sheep sorrel, turkey rhubarb, burdock root, and slippery elm. But the tea is called Essiac tea. And I'm not... Essiac. It's like Casey spelled backwards.
Okay.
Or Cassie, or... I don't know how to pronounce names half the time. But it's called Essiac tea. I mean, but you don't feel like that I'm trying to just overpromise anything here, are you?
No,
but
sir,
I'm telling you, if she's heavily invested in trying to turn this around, we need to starve the pancreatic cancer to death, and we need to give the pancreas a rest. And one of the ways you do that is by cutting out so much coffee.
Mm.
Just go to organic coffee, and we'll use something like coconut milk creamer or something like that.
Okay.
And we're going to start loading her up with good ketogenic forming fats. We want to starve the pancreas cancer to death.
Well, she has already started a lot of this, so hopefully we're on the right track.
You're probably going to call her today and she's going to say, hey, Laverne, I already know this stuff. Tell me something new.
Well, there are a few things that are new, so I'm definitely going to be seeing her today.
Well, the good news is everything that I've told her is completely non-toxic.
Yes, sir.
None of it is going to be harmful. She may be a little bit nauseated, but that has to do with the bile duct and the pancreatic duct and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So let me know what happens. I can't wait to find out.
Okay, thank you so much.
And God bless Shirley and look upon her and you with favor.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. That was a pretty good phone call right there. That's because a sister has pure love for her sister, Shirley. If you would like to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. There's a phone line open. You know, sometimes when I mention something to you on the radio, it gives you an opportunity to maybe Google it or look it up for yourself, and I think that's good. Because as long as you're living here on Earth, you're going to be learning something. We either learn something valuable, or we learn something that's maybe not so valuable. Good morning. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
Good. Hey, I was glad to hear that there's a phone line open, because usually they're all taken.
Well, I tell you what, there were 10 people ahead of you, but I cleared them all out so you can get in, buddy.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The love I have. My wife is, we've been married almost 6 years. We married December 12, 2012.
Oh, that's great.
And, it is great. She's a wonderful woman. And my heart hurts for her because her heart hurts, literally. She's, as long as I've been, since we started dating, actually prior to dating, we were hanging out summertime. First time I saw it, we were at Pine Cove, that family day camp that they had, and she just went down, and she grabbed her chest, and it's they've thrown the phrase tachycardia.
Yeah,
out,
but she probably has what's called POTS syndrome.
POTS?
Yeah, POTS. Does she kind of almost black out?
Kind of, sort of. It's like her heart arrhythmia will bottom out almost to nothing, and then or it'll shoot up. I mean, like little jackrabbits running in her. It's just crazy. I mean, you can literally feel it beating out of her chest, or it just like, she says it gets real tight, almost like she can't breathe and catch her breath, and she'll just have to literally like, kind of crouched down in a fetal type of position, and just hope and wait for it to pass.
How long does it take to pass?
Sometimes it's real quick, and other times it could take a few minutes for it to really just stop and her breathing get back to good.
How often does this happen?
Well, sometimes it won't happen for maybe a month or two at a time, and then other times it's like whenever it starts acting up again, it could be once a week, sometimes maybe even two or three times a week.
Are there any factors that she has observed or you have observed that may predict when this is going to happen?
No. I mean, there's been a lot of stress
But when you walk into the room, does she usually have one of these attacks? Because that really wouldn't sound very good if that was the case.
No.
I'm joking, sorry.
But it probably wouldn't be too far from the truth.
No, I'm joking about that, sorry.
No, it's quite all right. Honestly, that's the Lord's been...
Well, when she works
working on me quite a bit.
When she works, are you kidding? I'm the work in progress. I think he's chiseling away on me right now currently, so you and I are in the same boat, and I'm thankful for it.
Man.
Does she wake up first thing in the morning with her heart kind of racing and beating first thing in the morning?
I don't think so.
Is sleep usually pretty good for her?
When she gets to sleep, she's not even nothing all day long. I mean, she's 100 pounds, 5'2"-ish, and every time she goes to... She's been checked out for this a couple times in the last 5 years, and the last time was a few months back when she had an episode, and the only reason she ended up going to be checked out is because her mother was there, and thank God, because...
Did you just say thank the Lord for your mother-in-law? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Well, continue. That was good.
Yes. Now they're not all bad. So. But yeah, the she had one of those hip things that monitors her heart, and if she had an episode or something, she was to at that point it would start recording. But she had it for like a month and nothing ever happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And as soon as it goes back, she turned it back in. She started having issues again. I said, I really was trying to plead with her to get one back on.
I've only got about 2 minutes left, but let me have it. Can I have a little bit of a stab at this, please?
Yeah,
I realize
please.
You really haven't had enough time to explain this thoroughly, so I apologize to you. One thing that I want you to do is, when you get off the phone with me this morning, get on the internet and just type in POTS syndrome, P-O-T. Man, there may be two T's in there, but just type in POTS syndrome and see what you come up with, okay?
Okay.
And just kind of hold in the back of your mind that with every condition that a human being can have, there's always a mild version of it, a moderate, and a more severe one. And if she can go for a month in between these episodes, then she probably doesn't have the most brutal, severe version of it, but she's got a... But just look up POTS syndrome. Now, one of the hallmarks of this is you get these abnormal surges of a hormone called, a chemical called adrenaline. Have you ever heard of adrenaline before?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guarantee you, if a pack of wild coyotes surrounded you when you're on your nature trail hike in the morning and they were licking their lips, you might get a little surge of adrenaline and your heart would start racing and pounding, right?
Right.
Well, with these women that have POTS syndrome, I mean, it can just be this very inappropriate surge of adrenaline that just takes over, and there's ways to help manage that. Now, I don't really have time to go into it, and you may have to call me back next week where we can pick it up after you've studied this, but I would say one of the elements that she's going to need a lot of, and maybe that's just a figure of speech, is magnesium. There's nothing I can do to harm your bride by giving her a little bit of magnesium every day, but she seems like the adrenaline type because she's as skinny as a rail, isn't she?
Yes.
And when you have a lot of adrenaline, it just burns off the body fat so fast from just lots of stress. It's just horrible. And so,
yeah, I mean, she eats, and I mean, I think she eats more like a bird personally, but she doesn't gain weight, and even if she tries, she's just, and I know a lot of people are trying to lose weight, but she's in the opposite.
Yeah, in a roundabout way, that's much harder and more difficult to gain weight when you're that way than for a person that weighs 800 pounds to lose weight.
Sure.
And so I'd look up POTS syndrome, but what we have is we have an issue where there's an imbalance in what's called the autonomic nervous system. There's just too much adrenaline, not enough parasympathetic. But unfortunately, I'm really completely out of time, and I apologize to you because I'd love to help you. But just call me back next week, okay?
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
God bless.
Bye-bye.